And if you study the flow of water, you'll realize that most of us make an incredible mistake, and that is that we try and dam and hold on to our wealth, and there's nothing we do with it. And that's where you go the furthest. And so it's simple stuff like that that we learn from the ancients.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth conscious, your creative genius, and your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage, and today we have a wonderful conversation. If you guys have been listening, you know I love to talk about ancient wisdom, and it's always one of those places, how do we bring these beautiful teachings into modern society? How do we bring them into our businesses and really create higher levels of consciousness and success? Today, we're here to talk with a wonderful guest, Mike Hancock, who has all kinds of accolades and ways to describe him. And I'm going to do just a tiny little bit here. And Mike, by all means, add to it if you feel called. He is the recipient of more than a dozen business awards, including the APAC Conscious Leadership Award, the GSF President Award, and four-time Speaker of the Year with multiple awards for business person of the year. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, Alara. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm really excited to hear your perspective on this topic.
Great. Where do you want to start? I'd love to hear what ancient wisdom means to you.
To me, it's really our inner knowing, you know, that really spans lifetimes, generations. It's ultimately consciousness, right? It's ultimately fundamental truth, which is beautifully simplistic and simultaneously deep and profound. How do you define it?
Not so different than you. I love your take by delving into things like DNA memory, past lifetimes, and that to regress back to the simplest truths. But I think human beings lived very simple lives in ancient times. And I'm talking about what most college professors would call prehistory. And because of that, I think there's a lot we can learn and apply in our current days to help us grow, develop, and manage the modern world.
Beautiful. So I would love to start off with understanding, where did you come into ancient wisdom teachings? Where did you really come into conscious leadership?
Probably started with a book I read when I was 18 years old called The Edge of Reality by an Australian author called Dawn Hill. And that led into part of what happens after death and things like that. My first trip to Machu Picchu was in 1995. I've been to Egypt more than 10 times. We owned a company called Soul Journeys, which led trips to 26 spiritual destinations around the world as part of our business. Luckily sold it in 2019, which was a blessing. And I think it's just always been a deep interest of mine. I've met with everybody from the head of the Hare Krishnas to various shaman in different countries to spiritual leaders all over the world, really. Sangomas in Africa, American Indian chiefs and medicine men in the US, and the list goes on.
Beautiful. You've definitely been around the world several times. I love all of your different connections to different cultures. And I would imagine that, and let me ask you, have you found that there is a thread of that wisdom that goes through all of those cultures?
Oh, definitely. And I think the thing is that everybody is seeking love. Everybody is seeking belonging. And everybody is seeking a degree of prosperity. In other words, being able to live a comfortable life. And for that, many people are also seeking wisdom as well. So it's very much, it's almost biblical. Now, the Bible is just one of the books that I've studied, but there's almost like, we're almost at the time of the rapture where there's people who are going to be more enlightened, let's just call them that, and then there's people who are going to be still stuck in the dark, dim old ages. And I think part of my role is to try and help people seek their own enlightenment.
I Love that. So was this something that you always brought into business? I'm not quite sure. Were you an entrepreneur? Were you into business before you started becoming conscious and then you started implementing it? How did that all come together?
In my 20s, I was a professional musician. So I was in a touring band. And so that was great. I went into financial services from there and ended up being general manager sales and marketing of New Zealand's largest financial services company with about 4,500 people underneath me that were in sales. And then I became an entrepreneur in 2002. And I'd say ever since I took ownership of my life, it's been very close to me, not so much in the corporate world because that was difficult. I didn't know how to do it. I would these days, but definitely for the last 23 years, as it's been sitting, I walk with one foot in the material world and one foot in the spiritual world. And that's how I keep balance.
Yes, I love that so much. I'm very similar. So let's dive into the topic of how do these ancient wisdoms solve most of our problems? And particularly, you know, we'll focus on business issues or wealth issues.
Okay, well, I think firstly, if we look at business, you know, Pythagoras in 2,500 years ago basically said there is music in the stars and with the humming of the strings. And what he was alluding to at that time is alluding to that the planets have various frequencies. Science since has proved that. And what, you know, the Earth gives off a frequency of, I think it's 7.52 hertz. We can't hear it, an elephant nearly can. And essentially what he was saying was that things happen in a certain cycle. Now, in your country, in the late 19th century, late 19th century, a guy called John Dewey started investigating Pythagoras's works and started applying them to business. Most people think Pythagoras was a mathematician. That's what he was second. He was actually a philosopher and a musician first. And so what Dewey, and John Dewey, there's now a university named after him in the States, but what John Dewey found out is he found that business operates in cycles. In the late 1970s, a man from New Zealand called Ray Toombs took Dewey's models and Pythagoras's model and applied them looking at the financial markets and realized that the financial markets basically follow a musical scale. Fascinating, right? So when major scales, minor scales, augmented sevenths, you name it, it's all in there. I can't go into all the technology, but I'll tell you how it applies in business. So there are eight notes in a musical scale, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, di, do. We all learnt that at school. And those eight notes in business, and this comes really from 2,500 years ago, is the first thing you need to work on is an idea. The second thing is your brand. The third thing is your team. The fourth thing is your partnerships. The fifth thing is building equity in what you have. The sixth thing is acquisition of something or someone. The seventh thing is managing cash flow. And the eighth thing is system. They're the eight notes, if you like, in the musical scale of business. And the way I like to teach that, if I'm sharing that with a group of people, and it's easy for people to look at now, is if I picked up your cell phone, firstly, providing you haven't got face recognition, okay, that's not going to work because I'm not you. So then you go, okay, my PIN code to open my phone. And I can punch in all sorts of numbers and I'm never going to get your PIN code, but I can see every number. If you ask me what's the numbers that are on the screen, I just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. So the problem in business is not that we don't know what to do. The problem is the sequence in which we do it. And the difference, and in my studies over the last probably 17 years, the difference between people who know, most of them intuitively, but a lot of them do know this, and the people who don't know is often huge success, millions of dollars, a comfortable life, and struggling, working for the man, you know, doing 100 hours a week, and you might as well go back and get a job as a business person. So it's that sort of simple stuff that once you start researching these things, it comes out. And that's one for business, which is around wealth creation. Here's another one around wealth creation, just simply, is that if you look at wealth, all the words in English that are around wealth come from water, the element water. We have cash, flow. We have currency. We go into liquidation. We go to the bank to get money. Okay? They're all water words. So quite frankly, if you want to become more wealthy, you need to study water. And if you study the flow of water, you'll realize that most of us make an incredible mistake, and that is that we try and dam and hold on to our wealth, and there's nothing we do with it. Whereas, you know, dams stagnate. The idea is to let money flow and to go into the middle of the river, often where it can be a bit bumpy, but that's where you get the best ride, and that's where you go the furthest. And so it's simple stuff like that that we learn from the ancients.
I absolutely love the correlation to the water, and because I've thought of currency and energy, I've never thought of it as water, and that's definitely profound. And I have definitely thought of holding on to money, not allowing that flow, creating that stagnation, and how water does that as well. I really love what you said at the end of like being right in the middle of the river where, yes, there might be more turbulence, but also that's where the fun is as well. I want to go back to what you said about the 8 points. When you named those off, was that the sequence that you were referring to?
Yes, it was. Idea, brand, team, partnerships, equity, acquisition, cash flow, system.
And so are people sometimes when you're saying they're not understanding it intuitively or they don't have this information, are they jumping steps or are they is really the issue that they're bringing all of those steps into the wrong sequence? Is that what you generally find?
Well, having worked with like literally hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs, I can tell you that there's one mistake that's very obvious a lot of the time. And that is that people move into spending all this money on brand or employing a great team or running out and trying to get strategic partnerships before their ideas even developed. And that doesn't work. So I'm not saying the idea has to be operative. I mean, WhatsApp's a great example of a phenomenal idea that was well thought through, then a great brand, WhatsApp, right? And then moving from there to a killer team, and then from there to sensational partners, and then sold to, was it Facebook, for $18 billion before they'd even made 1 cent in revenue. So that's actually using the model. So, but I think for many people listening to us today, the fundamental mistake is we move to one of the other 8 things before we settle and nail the thing before it. And business happens in a series of spirals too, Alara. So, you know, if you're a startup, you go through 1 level of 8. If you're Apple, you're in the 7th level of 8. So, you know, my business is in the 4th generation of levels here, and we're at the partners level now in that generation. So so that's where we are, but, you know, it's up to everybody to decide where they are.
I love the spiral because that's also how consciousness evolves as well. And so when we understand that and that everything evolves in a spiral, we can also understand why we have to come back to things and revisit them, right? With more awareness, more understanding, what you're saying is like further on in our business, right? We revisit these aspects of our business to gain more clarity and take ourselves to the next level. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And if you look at even at artists like Madonna or Lady Gaga, how many times have they redone their brand over their years, right? So they've gone through those spirals, and you can, where we see it is with their brand. But, you know, even the type of music, the basis of the idea is different now. And you can look at that with many artists and see the basis of what they do is different. But they've strengthened their brand. And look at movie stars, the type of movies that they're in, you know, Brad Pitt, for instance, goes from Thelma and Louise to the sort of more deeper and heavier stuff that he's doing now. So, you know, it's that style of thing that we are all going through in our life as we grow and develop.
So important, because one thing that is always happening is the change, right? Just like the water, if we're allowing the flow, which is where the wealth wants to naturally move, it's going to be constantly flowing and changing and evolving. Like the riverbed shifts over time. It doesn't stay in one place. And when we try to keep ourselves locked into our brand, you know, well, I've already created that and whatever it is, we're really just stifling our own expansion. We have to be unafraid. You know, fear is part of it, but we have to be willing to be courageous in that continuous evolution, because it is continuous, especially as I find as a personal brand, or like I loved how you said the musicians, because they are personal brands in that extent. and it is really them. We are personally evolving so rapidly, and to allow that to continue to be expressed externally, it's really profound, but it's really a journey. I mean, I'm speaking to my own journey right now. It's been a journey of my own evolution and my personal journey. Yes.
And I think if you look at, like, if we take musicians for a moment, I mean, you know, Mick Jagger used to be a rebel. I mean, hell, Paul McCartney was a rebel, but these days, these are very wise people. And, you know, I listen to, I'm a musician, so I listen to a lot of music podcasts and things like that. And I listen to these people that when I was young, and I'm a guitar player, so I follow a lot of guitarists, and I go like, Steve Vai would be a good example. Steve Vai, when I was young, was, you know, like the greatest shredding guitarist on the planet. And he was angry and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And about 6 or 7 years ago, here he is in my friend's spiritual movie talking about his spiritual life and being a sage. And you go like, hang on, boy, have you changed? And I never knew you were that, right? So everybody's going through it. And it's good that we do go through it, because or else we're going to have to come back and repeat this life all over again because we didn't know what it was about.
That's exactly what'll happen. So tell me, what is lighting you up right now? Like, when you're working with people, who are you working with, and what is really lighting you up about supporting them and helping them?
We always work with conscious entrepreneurs, and they're entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, and speakers for the main point. And they're people who, for making a difference is as important as making a profit. So, you know, we've literally helped thousands of them, but I get so buzzed when I see them. You know, we've got a client of ours who came to me with all his friends said was a stupid idea 10 years ago. And this year it's listing on the New York Stock Exchange. And it's a green technology that's really helping the planet. And so it's that sort of thing that gives me a buzz. But by the same token, in July this year, we'll be in the US, because I don't live in the US, we'll be in the US running a tour called America Before Columbus, which is delving into the people who are in the US, the Phoenicians, the Minoans, the Romans, and the Templar Knights, based out of New England. So I'm really looking forward to the group there. I'm working with an 18 times best-selling author on the subject. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well.
Wow, that's very different.
Yeah, two ends of the spectrum, eh?
You gotta keep your life alive with the very variety, right? The variety of the spice of life. I love that.
Absolutely.
So if there was one more thing you could say on ancient wisdom and really bring it in perhaps to something tangible that somebody can apply to their business right now, what would be that advice?
Okay, well, I think the quality of your life comes down to the quality of your questions. All right, so let's have a look at where questions came from. So in 3114 BC in China, the Emperor Fu He commissioned a book. And back then, you know, they didn't have ChatGPT, so they actually had to go out and study things. He believed that the world as he knew it, which was China at that stage, was a microcosm of the macrocosm. So he sent scholars, and scholar literally means observer, whereas academic literally means pursuer of trivia. Interesting. And he sent his scholars out to observe the natural world, and they created a book which these days we know as the I Ching. It definitely survived several book burnings. A guy called Richard Wilhelm brought it to the West and in the 1920s, and Carl Jung was a big fan of the I Ching. Now, the I Ching, getting to your question, because that's the background so everybody can understand it, talks about the five elements. And the five Chinese elements are water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. So each of those five elements relates to a question. Water is the why question. Wood is the what question. Fire is the who question. Think about the warmth of fire in relationships. Earth is the when question, and metal is the how question. Now, most of us got taught at school to ask the how question. And I get asked all the time, how do I make more money? You know, how do I get a better quality staff? How do I get a better life? How do I get a better spouse? You know, whatever the questions are, right? But it's very interesting that that cycle of water, wood, fire, earth, and metal, or why, what, who, when, and how, also that's called a constructive cycle. There's also a destructive cycle. How is a very destructive question. You notice it's the only question there that doesn't start with W. That's because it was a manufactured question sometime afterwards to sort of dumb us down as a human race, which we can go into at some other stage. But if you look at that, that's the metal question. Now, this is such brilliant ancient wisdom. Out of water, wood, fire, and earth, which one of those can annihilate metal pretty easy? I'll answer it for you. Fire. So fire is the who question. So here's the answer for entrepreneurs. You never need to know how if you know who, because who always knows how. So whether that's a mentor, I was just listening to a podcast on AI, and there's a brilliant woman based in New York, just voted in Forbes 30 under 30s on AI, who keeps it really simple. I'm immediately connecting with her on LinkedIn, because if I ever need to do really technical stuff with AI, I'm going to ask her, right? Because that's what we need to know these days, is we need to know how to hack the system, how to shortcut things. So we're asking ourselves too many how questions. And here's the interesting thing is, if you look at a child, and this is how I can prove this whole thing is the truth, any of you that are parents that are listening to this, what's the one question your under 7-year-old child asks you? Why, mummy? Why? Right? Why? It's the water question. That's because they came from water. And for the first 7 years of their life, they're in water. The next 7, they're in what? So, you know, what am I going to do? You know, go and play. Oh, but what am I going to do? Then the next 7 years from 14 to 21, it's who? It's all about who am I going to hang out with, right? Then the next 7 years, it's all about when. When am I going to get the job? When am I going to get the spouse, et cetera, et cetera? And then the 7 years from 28 to 35 is all about how. How am I going to pay off my mortgage? How am I going to raise my kids? How am I going to, you know, hold it all together? And then the cycle starts all over again. That's why between 35 and 42, you call it a midlife crisis, because people go back to the why. I did. That's when I left corporate. Why am I doing this stupid job that I don't even really like, right? You know, why am I living in this town where everybody is, you know, talking down to me, or whatever thing is going on for you as a listener? That's your midlife crisis. It's not absolute, these things, but that's in the zone of where it's at. So I hope that's helpful. Ask quality questions, you'll get quality answers. Forget about the how question.
I always teach the same thing very differently. I teach to connect to higher self and receive that inner guidance, that inner knowing. But I completely agree with you simultaneously in the obsession, quite frankly, with the how. And it can be blinding. You know,
Absolutely. You
can really be really disconnected to, like what you said, these deeper connections of who and what, rather than just really focused on the how. And it really can dampen our expansion. And also, I really find that it really takes away from the quality of the moment, because it's very mental. It's very analytical. You want to solve the problem, right? You want to get it right. You want to figure it out, rather than being much more in the heart, in a place that is available to your own inner wisdom and that consciousness coming through. So I really,
your divine
really
being
love that.
Will give you the right question, as you say.
Yeah. It's always right there, literally.
Absolutely.
So wonderful. So how can people find you, Mike?
Alara, the best way, if people want to find me, is go to our website, which is www.circleofexcellence.biz, B-I-Z. Otherwise, they can go and find me on LinkedIn and connect there, Mike Handcock, H-A-N-D-C-O-C-K. There's not too many of us, so they'll find me there for sure. And thanks so much for the great work that you're doing, and asking really good questions. And I really like the format of your podcast and the target that you're trying to hit with it. Well done.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm surprised there's not a lot of Mike Hancocks. I would think that there would be, but I'm glad to hear that there's not.
Not too many with the D, yeah.
So I'll have those links below. And, you know, I definitely recommend that you reach out to Mike, because obviously, he's been around the world. He's had a lot of personal experience, both in the ancient wisdom and in business, and really has learned quite beautifully and musically, might I say, of how those two can be one, how they don't need to be separate, and learn how you can bring your business into greater expansion, greater movement, greater mission, greater purpose with these teachings of ancient wisdom. As always, I love you so much. Thank you for being a part of the show. Until next time.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.